This is a podcast from the Queen City Podcast Network.
This is Sports Charlotte, the podcast about sports in Charlotte. My name is Herb White. I am editor-in-chief at the Charlotte Post. And with me, as usual, is...
Cameron Williams, staff reporter. Staff writer, staff reporter. What am I?
Journalist.
There you go, at the Charlotte Post.
Yeah. So it is Friday, April 5th, 2024. Let's just jump right on to it. First thing up, I guess, should be basketball.
A lot of it.
Yeah. Where do you want to start today? NBA, the NCAA, what?
Well, let's start with the NBA. That's big, big news.
Absolutely.
Obviously, with Steve Clifford stepping down again. Well,
no, this time.
This time is stepping down. Last time.
He was thrown out.
He got the big boot. But yeah, I went to the press conference. It was he seemed very even keel about things. I mean, and he's not completely out of the Hornets organization. He's taken this advisory role that the exact job description isn't exactly laid out yet. But him and executive vice president of ops, Jeff Peterson, they seem to have a very good relationship. They've known each other for a while, and I mean, at least Peterson says he looks forward to Clifford staying around and, you know, being that advisor of things, and I'm just, what all that entails, you know, we don't really know yet, but that, needless to say, that's his next step after he coaches these last few games of the year.
So his duties are TBD if they come to a decision that he should be there. So then, I guess the question is, did Clifford see the writing on the wall and just beat the Hornets to the punch by saying, I'm out? Or was this like, truly, I don't have the energy for this. Time has passed me by, and I know these dudes are going to not be all that great, and I'm not going to stick around for a rebuild.
I mean, that's a good question. Because, yeah, I mean, if you're in the know, so to speak, I mean, you could kind of see it coming that Clifford might not have been retained after this year.
With that record? You know.
But one thing that was also acknowledged at the press conference was that he hadn't exactly had a clean bill of health to work with. Constant injury issues, and don't know if it was necessarily meant to be released because no one had gotten an injury update on Mark Williams for a while, but he's dealing with some back issues that are apparently bone-related. That slipped out of Cliff's mouth yesterday, or 2 days ago. But nonetheless, I think he saw it coming, but I also think what he said was true. He's over the hump for all intents and purposes, and he's just... It takes a lot out of him to get up and, you know, do his coaching duties every day. And so I think this new role that he's trying to, you know, fit into is a lot different. He can kind of step back and see things from the front office perspective, which is something that he said he never had really gotten to experience and something that he wanted to experience.
Yeah. So then the attention now turns to who's next? Who's going to jump into that barrel now? Because, and I still will say this, and I will go up and, you know, just die on that hill. The Hornets made a big mistake when they let James Borrego go in the first place.
You're not the only one that has said that, but one thing a lot of people don't remember is that Borrego had a lot of talented teams as well that weren't necessarily always hurt.
Well, but those teams are also young teams. And he was bringing the Hornets along on an, you know, they were on an upward trajectory. I mean, when they went from, what, they had the last winning season that the franchise had when they went 43-39, I believe it was. And they lost in the play-in. The year before, they were under 500, but made it to the play-in and lost. So his then was losing back-to-back play-ins.
Yeah.
And he was ushered out because of that. Do you think that they would gladly swap that for a couple of play-ins the last 2 years?
Well, I'm sure. And maybe you can refresh my memory a little bit, but as far as the timeline, but who was the coach when they lost enough games to get the third pick and pick LaMelo?
Was that?
Let's see. What, Cliff?
It was Borrego.
Okay, so. Yeah.
Well, but still, you're talking about, now, keep in mind now, it was the lottery. So the Hornets did incredibly well to get up to third.
That's right, yeah.
So they were a lottery team.
That's right, they were projected to get the seventh pick.
Yeah, they weren't the worst team in the NBA.
Yeah.
But they were probably the luckiest because even at third, they got LaMelo Ball. And even at that, with his injury issues.
Is that lucky?
It may be lucky, but it's bad lucky.
Well, the Timberwolves definitely got the best shake out of that draft. I mean,
well, at 4 years in, at least with Anthony Edwards, you know he's going to be around, yeah, and he's going to be available, and he's going to ball.
That guy's nice. I'm just saying. Well, but then you look at Wiseman, he's found his little niche, I guess, with Detroit. You know, that never really panned out in Golden State. And I just didn't think it would. I mean, Golden State just plays a different type of ball than what...
He's capable.
Not necessarily capable. It's just a different style. I mean, he fits Detroit's mold, but, I mean, he's just playing behind a guy like Jalen Duren, who's a really good center.
And keep in mind, the Pistons aren't very good either.
Well, they're not. But then LaMelo just can't stay healthy.
But when he is, he's an electric player. Problem is, when your best ability is availability, not necessarily all that great.
When the news broke I don't know if it was early this week or late last week, that he could shut it down for the season. I mean, that didn't come to my surprise.
It's like, who would have expected anything less?
Yeah, I'm watching him a few weeks back, right after the trade deadline. I mean, the man's practicing, going full speed in warm-ups, and then he goes and puts on his, bling, all his gear, and sitting on the bench. I'm like, you could have played.
Well, but when you've invested that much money in a single athlete, you don't want to take a chance on it. So,
writing should have been on the wall from really the time playoffs really weren't feasible for them. I mean, you knew they weren't going to bring Mark back. You knew they weren't going to bring LaMelo back. So,
and that doomed Steve Clifford. You could make the argument this team was doomed from the start when they brought him back, because they've been bottom of the barrel in both years. And that's not necessarily a reflection on Coach Clifford, because yeah, and this roster is not necessarily built to win, even after...
Not yet.
Yeah, so the next person they bring in, I think, is going to have to be younger, obviously. Yeah. Maybe from a different school of thought in terms of constructing a roster, building out game planning and strategies and stuff like that. So...
I mean, Cliff did bring up a good point, though. I mean, this is a Charlotte team that beat Boston this year.
Okay.
LaMelo had a great game, had 30-some points, a lot of assists, a lot of rebounds. Mark Williams had 18 points and 16 rebounds. So when the full accompaniment of players is available, they're not bad. Mm-hmm. Are they the premier franchise of the NBA like Jeff Peterson wants to see them be? Nope.
No.
But
not even in their division.
They have shown promise that they can be a decent team when they are healthy.
That's true. So we can talk about the odds of who may be next. But before we get into that, download the DraftKings Sportsbook app now using code QCPN and bet $5 to get $200 instantly in bonus bets. Only on DraftKings Sportsbook with code QCPN. The crown is yours. Gambling problem? Call 877-1-8-5-5-4-3 or visit morethanagame.nc.gov. 21 plus, North Carolina only. Bonus bets expire 168 hours after issuance. Deposit and eligibility restrictions apply. Terms at DraftKings.com/sportsbook/NC. NASCAR is not a sponsor of this promotion and used under license. So let's talk about those odds of who may replaced.
Why'd you point at me when you said gambling problem?
Did I say problem?
I think you did.
Oh, well, you're the only other person in this room, but, you know, I had to look at somebody.
You pointed right at me.
I didn't point at you either. But anyway.
You gave your hand gesture to me. Yeah, okay. I take that personally. I'm profitable, thank you.
Well, that's good. Bet responsibly.
Can't wait till that $10.99 rolls around next year.
So, would Kenny Atkinson be a good fit after jilting Charlotte a couple of years ago, which opened the door for Steve Clifford?
Yeah. As a coach, I think so. As would he be well received?
Well, keep in mind, it's a different ownership group now, too.
True. So maybe those ties aren't necessarily severed for this ownership group. But, I mean, I think it was you who, you know, I was talking with it about, you know, this new ownership group with, you know, Plotkin and Chennault and now Jeff Peterson as a executive VP of ops. You know, they're wanting to really just get out all the old. It seems like they're wanting to do away with everything that, you know, the old Hornets ownership had to do with, and you know, just really start fresh. And so, if that's really what they want to do, I'm surprised they're keeping Clifford around. But nonetheless,
yeah,
in a different role. Yeah, I think he would be okay as a coach, but.
I mean, because they're already reaching out to ask permission from teams, and some of the more popular names that keep coming up, for instance, Charles Lee with the Celtics.
That's who I'd go for.
Oh, yeah? Or Jordy Fernandez in Sacramento, or Kevin Young in Phoenix.
So, I mean, they're really going for some of the top guy. I mean, the top assistants and stuff at some top franchises.
Right, or Chris Quinn. In Miami. Heat culture comes to Charlotte.
I don't know if Charlotte was that kind of basketball, but
yeah. Or somebody like Terry Stotts, who's a former head coach. You know. So then you get into, do you want to recycle or do you want to give somebody a fresh chance?
Well, I mean, and here's just off the wall. Find a successful young college coach.
Uh-oh. Well, I mean, but a successful young college coach, and you're going to throw him into the NBA, huh?
People want to do that with Brad Stevens after he led Butler to back-to-back Final Fours.
And how did that work out?
He coached several decent Celtics teams. He moved up. He's in the office with the Celtics now.
Yes. After things didn't necessarily go all the way to the top. That's my point with bringing in a young, successful college coach, because that doesn't necessarily translate to young, successful NBA coach.
Well, bring in an old, successful college coach. I mean, I know he hadn't had a lot of recent success, but I mean, and this is a very hot take, so do not email me or message me about this, but John Calipari. He's had pro experience.
Yeah, but he's appeared to Steve Clifford. Yeah, so it's like, okay, it's a different game, it's a different generation of players, and they're not going to take but so much of the old school. Yeah. That's just the sad truth of it.
I want to get your reaction to this. In one of my group chats that I'm in, someone tossed out the name Dawn Staley.
Well, the NBA is a very forward-thinking league when it comes to stuff like that. Or Becky Hammond, for that matter.
Yeah.
And now, Dawn Staley, who once played in Charlotte with the old Sting in the WNBA, which I think is something that this ownership group should get on immediately. Bring that back. We'll be front and center for that one. But anyway, a woman head coach, I think if any men's professional league is going to do it, the NBA would be the first. Would Staley jump at a chance like that? Hammond would, I think.
Yeah. Well, and here's my follow-up to that. What is the difference, or, you know, what would be the difference in Staley to where she is now, getting a bunch of 18 to 21, 22-year-old female athletes to buy into her system, whereas to get a bunch of, you know, 20 to, say, 30-year-olds to buy into her, and male athletes to buy into what she's trying to do?
I wouldn't necessarily even look at it as a matter of gender. I would look at it as a matter of trying to make the leap from college to the NBA.
Yeah, but I just...
And we've seen it swallow up men who are accomplished.
Yeah.
And to me, Hamlin would be maybe not even the safer choice. It would be a different kind of choice because she has already refined her coaching chops in the NBA. I think it would be so much more of an adjustment for Dawn Staley than it would be for Becky Hammond. You know, Hammond's already seen everything the NBA is going to throw at her.
Yeah.
I'm not so sure if Dawn Staley can make that transition fast enough for it to work for a franchise like the Hornets. Now, you know, but Charlotte may be, you know, and you know how this works out sometimes. If you are so bad, whatever you bring in, if it works, you look like a bunch of geniuses. Exactly. And if you fail, it's like, well, at least we gave a chance.
Couldn't have gotten worse.
Yeah. And so are you in that boat now? Are you in that territory? It's like, well, you know what? Let's swing with the fences. Do something totally different.
That would fall under that umbrella.
Yes, it would. So let's move over to college basketball. It's Final Four week.
Indeed.
And although we don't necessarily have a Charlotte-based team in this fight, or, you know, there is a North Carolina team that has a Charlotte connection in there in terms of North Carolina State. One of the assistant coaches, Larry Dixon, is a Johnson C. Smith graduate, which is probably something that flew under everybody's radar around here. But I remember Larry when he was a player at Smith. He graduated in 1996, and by his own admission, had no idea what it was like to put in the work to be a better basketball player. But he credits now retired Smith head coach Steve Joyner with infusing him with the work ethic that it took to improve as an athlete. And so by the time he graduated Smith, he was their best defensive player. He was also their most improved player as a junior. Went on to, obviously, coaching. Got to start at Garinger High School.
Oh, wow.
At Steve Joyner's recommendation and urging, and parlayed that into coaching at several stops, including Winthrop and South Carolina State. And
Winthrop, DJ Burns.
Well, yeah.
No, I mean, not just talking about connections.
Yeah, and so that's a pretty cool story where somebody local is on that stage, not as a player, but as a coach. And I asked him in our interview if he might be interested in coming back and taking over that job at Smith. And he was noncommittal when it came to that. He just said, whoever gets that job, they need to be able to put in the work to make Smith a premier team in the CIAA again. And that's the right answer. Because the program has been at that level for a long time with Steve Joyner, have fallen on a bit of a slide the last two or three seasons, mostly due to COVID and its fallout. But would he take that job? He wouldn't necessarily say, but I guess you have to let folks know that you're interested in order to do that. But there's bigger fish to fry immediately because they're playing Purdue. Yeah. In the first semifinal on Saturday, and he works primarily with the bigs, and so DJ Burns is his star pupil, and how well he will match up against Zach Edey is going to tell us a lot
Well, let me not get on my my soapbox, but it's going to be the battle of the bigs who get the most calls. Because Burns and ED both get a lot of calls.
But that's that might be the best matchup of the weekend. In terms of, you know.
I don't think Alabama matches up with UConn at all. Yeah, they both have some speedy guards, but Klingon is a lot better than the center Alabama has. So I just think it's... I think it's UConn's championship to lose, if I'm being honest.
That's going to be interesting. That's going to be interesting. And the other side of that Final Four coin is the women's Final Four.
Yep.
That NC State also has a team in.
UConn.
And UConn as well. And thanks to the LSU-Iowa game earlier this week, folks are talking about women's basketball like they haven't in quite some time, which I think is a very good thing. But how well will this Final Four turn out?
In which are our men's or women? Or both?
Women.
Women? Okay.
Mm-hmm.
I think it'll be good. I think it'll be really good. I'll be interested to see how close NC State can keep it with South Carolina. I mean, yes, I am kind of writing them off as saying South Carolina's going to win that game. Shock me, NC State. but I just don't know if they can match Cordoso's – Camilla. How do you pronounce her name?
I have
no idea. The center for South Carolina. I don't want to butcher her last name, but nonetheless, she's a force down low, and I don't know how well NC State matches up with her. Really, any of the remaining teams. UConn might stand the best chance because, I mean, they've got a pretty stout center themselves, but I don't think they're getting past Iowa. I mean, that matchup between Beckers and Caitlin Clark's going to be special.
Mm-hmm.
Is that game on tonight?
Tonight?
Yeah. Well, I know where I'm going to be whenever that game's on. In front of a TV somewhere.
And that's the point about all this, too. I mean, you know, folks talk about the men's Final Four, and it's an annual thing. Okay, yeah, great. But folks are now buzzing about women's basketball on television.
It's good. I mean, it's funny when I got to the office this morning. You telling me that the ticket prices were more expensive for the women's Final Four, and you seemed shocked about that. I'm like, the men's Final Four has one quote unquote blue blood, and then you got a football school, a Cinderella, and Purdue. It's like, okay, big whoop. I mean, now you want to talk about expensive ticket prices. 2 years ago when Villanova, Kansas, Duke, and North Carolina were in there, those ticket prices were through the roof. I mean, I went myself, and I was up in the Caesars Superdome up in the 500 levels. I mean, I'm looking down with binoculars and paid $400 for that seat. So It just goes to show you it's all about the teams that are in it. And now, I mean, you got Iowa, star power, Caitlin Clark. Yeah, they've been on the rise the last really – 5 to 6 years, constantly getting, you know, 3 to 2 seeds and stuff like that. UConn, perennial power, the GOAT, greatest coach of all time in Gina Auriemma. You got Dawn Staley, the rising, you know, great next best coach, you know, in the league. And then NC State, who's constantly been a 1 seed to 2 seed over the last 5 to 6 years. And, I mean, they achieved or got to the Final Four as a 3 seed. So, I mean, I just laid it out right there. You got all of these components and all this star power, and yeah, there's a want to see that. I mean, for me and clearly for other people, if the ticket prices are, you know, that high and people are willing to pay it, so
it'll be interesting to see how the ratings turn out because obviously it's on ESPN with the women's side. The men are going to be on CBS, so more homes will get CBS than ESPN. So it'll be interesting to see how that goes. And to me, even from the standpoint of can this shining moment for the women's Final Four and women's basketball on a collegiate level, can that translate over to the WNBA?
Yeah, and then that's one thing. It's just really always been the dark cloud over the whole, you know, thing. It's like, no one watches the WNBA, and, you know, I know...
You have to be a real hoops fan.
Well, it's like, Yeah, I'll watch it. I'll definitely watch it when the Aces play the Liberty. I mean, that's quality basketball. Ionescu, you got Asia Wilson for the Aces. I mean, the Aces are loaded top to bottom. I believe Kelsey Plums plays for them. I mean, that's a good basketball team. But, you know, my point being is, I mean, one of our coworkers even said it. Yeah, they play a lot of games, like, early afternoon, during the day, in the middle of the week. Like, who can get there? I mean, for the majority of the working class, you can't get there. I mean, you're, I mean, I guess if you are media in one of those cities, you're there working the game. But if you're not,
you're stuck in office. Yeah, it might be kind of hard, yeah.
Yeah, so I think they need to, because, I mean, they're not playing during the NBA season, so they need to adjust their times. And, I mean, Lord, I mean, it's the summertime. Play games at night.
There may be other things that folks find more entertaining to do. So, you know, but still, if the WNBA brass should be able to at least have something in place where they can take advantage of the hot streak that college basketball is on. Yeah. And, you know, and there's definitely a college fan base and there's a professional fan base. Mm-hmm. And the WNBA needs to figure out a way to tap into that collegiate thing or become so big until everybody's going to be in there. And then it becomes just basketball fans and then periphery folks like it is for the men's game.
Well, did you see where they were talking about? No, there was a graphic actually that said Caitlin Clark's first year in the WNBA salary is going to be about $70,000 to $75,000.
Now that's criminal.
But she could go, Ice Cube and his little basketball league that he started up.
Mm-hmm.
He offered her $3 million.
Well, now, it would be nice to be able to sign on for that. But then again, how much legacy can you build through that? You know, so then that's something
I go get my bag and then go to WNBA if I'm Caitlin Clark.
Well, yeah, I mean, that's happened with other men.
Tell Ice Cube, I'll sign a 2-year deal, and then I'm out. I'll go to WNBA. I'll put all this money aside and, you know, get my life, you know, set for the rest of my life, but then I'll go create my, you know, WNBA legacy and win chips in the WNBA.
Well, the other side of that is she's very marketable, so we're going to see her on TV no matter where she goes. So, you know, she's over here doing State Farm commercials and Gatorade spots and all this other stuff. You know, she's gonna have some pretty good grip to work with, even if she's making a paltry salary in the WNBA. And yeah, $75,000 is nothing for us to sneeze at, but in terms of professional athletes, yeah, that's a pittance and a half.
Yeah. So who do you have winning? We'll get to that. We'll do women's and transition to men. Who you got?
Okay. Everybody's going to take South Carolina because that's just the best team in there right now. And I can see that.
Yeah.
But I don't believe in things going exactly as planned. But I will this time because South Carolina, if nothing else, they still remember last year.
They do, and that's why it's hard for me to pick Iowa. But, like, listen, as a bettor, there ain't no value picking South Carolina. You got to bet $200 and something just to win 100 because they're the odds-on favorite. But you can bet $100 and win 700 if Iowa somehow wins the championship. Get a little free betting advice from myself.
Uh-huh.
There you go. Take it for what it's worth, but there's a lot that has to happen right for Iowa to beat South Carolina. I think Iowa will beat UConn. I just don't think UConn has enough offensive firepower to keep up with Iowa. Now, defensively, it'll probably be the hardest test Iowa's faced. Gino, he has those girls playing some really good defense, but Caitlin Clark's just going to Caitlin Clark.
Yeah, but the end of the day. How much help will she get? That's the key. Because if she goes off for 50,
she only needs 20 more points from the rest of her team to win if she scores 50. I believe that. I don't think UConn can score 70 points.
Yeah, but if nobody else gets anything,
It'll be interesting to see just how that all plays out. But I tell you, you got to get UConn this year, because next year, if the number one player in the country right now, she goes to Grace Christian School up in you know, the northern part of the state. Sarah Strong, if she commits to UConn, and Becker's back next year as a senior. Whew, that team is going to be fun.
Yeah.
Very fun to watch, because I mean Sarah, she's incredible. So get UConn this year, because next year, sorry South Carolina, it ain't happening. I bet UConn in a minute next year if Strong commits there.
Yeah.
But championship game, when you look at South Carolina and you look at Iowa, a lot, like I said, a lot's got to happen right for Iowa to win.
Mm-hmm.
If I would have had to pick a team, it'd be South Carolina, but I want Caitlin Clark to go out on top. Because I think last year everybody wanted her to win the championship, and you know, LSU, they just played a great game. This year I want her to go out on top because I think she's one of the greatest ever to do it.
That's a wonderful sentiment.
Yeah.
That's a wonderful sentiment. Okay.
Men's side, you go.
Men, well, Larry, you're my guy. But I think it's going to be Purdue and UConn in the final. And UConn figures a way to win it all.
Now, you was over here before we started this podcast. You was over here saying, nah, they ain't a shoe-in for it.
But they're not a shoe-in.
They are a shoe-in for it. They will win both their games in the Final Four by 10+.
You think so?
Yeah. I wish FanDuel would come up with a bet for that, because I'd bet on it. They're good. They are good.
Well, but sometimes you're not good on a particular day. Sure. Which could happen.
It could. I mean, UConn, one of their early championships. It might have been their first under, no, it wasn't. I don't think it was their first, but in 1999, I mean, they caught one of Duke's best teams on a bad day, and they won the championship. So, I mean, that was the year Duke went 16-0 in the ACC and were a shoe-in to win the
prohibitive favorites.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And so, yeah, I mean, you're right. You can catch a team on a bad day, which I thought Illinois was until they went on a 30-0
imploded. Run. Yeah.
That was unbelievable to watch. Come to think of it, wish I'd have bet them -6.5 at halftime, but, you know. Anyway. I think it's UConn's to lose. I really do. I think it'll be UConn and Purdue. I think Purdue will. I think NC State can cover the spread. I think Vegas was a little generous in making State 9.5-point underdogs. I mean, they were 7.5-point underdogs, and then they go and beat Duke. So it's kind of like,
I don't think Purdue will run away from them. I think it'll be very competitive.
And I think guard play, I mean, if you can rattle Purdue's guards, it could be a game. I mean, it could be a game that State could win if DJ Horn has a good enough game.
But if Zach Edey goes wild,
yeah,
it's done.
It'll all depend on which way the whistle's blowing. And, you know, I know you're probably like, well, refs don't, you know, determine games.
Sometimes
it could definitely be the case in this one.
Yeah.
Because, I mean, I've seen it all over social media lately how Edey gets all these calls and Edey just, you know, he lives at the free throw line. He shot the most free throws this year, topping Tyler Hansborough from UNC back in the late 2000s. So
he gets
that's saying something.
He gets a lot of opportunities. Okay, so let's shift gears one last time to football and spring ball. Football never really ends as a season. Not There's really. Always something. The Charlotte 49ers, you had an opportunity to
chat with the Biff.
Yeah, it
that's
was.
What I call it.
Yeah, conversations with Biff. So how did it go?
Good. Biff is really excited that he's now had a whole off season to, and even the whole recruiting cycle to really see not only the talent of the players he's bringing in, but see their character and see just, you know, what they're like with their families, what they're like with their friends in school, and just things like that. Because he was very honest with me. He's like, when I got here in January of 23, I was just scrambling to find talent. I was scrambling to build a roster because, you know, a lot of people were hitting the portal and just things like that. So he went out and got a bunch of guys he coached at St. Francis.
And it showed.
It just, and it wasn't necessarily that they were not talented. It was the fact that getting 20 guys from one place and 40 from another to mesh. You had two. He even said it's like you had two teams. But he said now he's really had the chance to invest in recruiting time and see. And he's really high on Max Brown from Florida. And in just the 30 to 45 minutes I got to watch him practice, this kid's going to be nice. If, barring any unforeseen injuries, he'll be the best quarterback Charlotte's had.
Well, stamp it. Well, but think about that bar.
Okay, all right. Let's stick with the glasses half full, Herb. Okay. We've been on that trend today.
Well, very well.
Charlotte hasn't had a lot of great quarterbacks, but...
It is only 11 years old as a program.
There we go.
I get all that. But we've heard this song before.
Yeah, they're only 11 years old as a program, and Chris Reynolds was a quarterback for six of them. Well,
so
five
it,
of them
or so it seems.
Five of them at least, but Max, he throws a really good ball. And one thing Poggi was really just proud of is his willingness to learn the offense and learn it very quickly. He got here this semester, and he's really been just, I guess, just learning the system that Poggi's got in place. Because, I mean, it's a lot different than what Florida's got in place. And he was obviously buried down the depth chart a bit at Florida. But if you look at his tape against Florida State last year, you see he's got potential. And I think just his leadership skills is going to really show through. And he's going to take over and command the offense. And I like the trajectory that it's going. And now you add in some running backs. You got a freshman running back coming from Florida and Rod Ganey. And Cartavius Norton, a transfer from, I believe, Iowa State, maybe. I could be wrong. But real stocky running back. Runs with a low center of gravity and just can really get you those hard-fought yards. And I know Poggi's a guy that likes to run the ball. And they're going to be running the ball. They got a deep running back room.
So now, if you've got the quarterback of your dreams and you are going to be a run-first offense, where's the mesh with that? I mean, I know that Biff is a proponent of physical football.
Yeah.
So is that something where he's going to use the run to set up the pass, or is having Max Brown sort of like that security blanket where he could play this either way if the game planning requires?
Well, the goal the entire time was run the ball to set up the pass. In his introductory press conference, and Lord, it's been November 22 now, Biff even said, he's like, we're going to pound it, run the ball, and all of a sudden, you bring eight in the box, we're going to throw it over your head. And Max Brown is the guy that can really do that. He's got a cannon of an arm. Just watching some of the passing concepts, you know, I'm not going to give away your offensive scheme, Biff, but just watching some of his passes that he was making, it's nice, it's impressive. And I think they finally got – it'd be interesting to see their offensive line, just how it – I don't want to say holds up. I mean, they did have some injuries last year, but to see how some of the guys have progressed, and even if some of the newcomers can step up and really be a force up front. Because I know last year
– it was a you saw difficult.
You saw Jalen Jones and even Trex Larrivee get put in the dirt a few too many times. So We'll see how it goes, but I was impressed. I've only been able to get out to one practice, so hopefully get out to maybe one or two more before the spring game, April 20th, free of charge. So
go see it.
Get a little taste of what's going to be coming your way August 30th.
It's right around the corner.
JMU game, first home game.
It won't be easy because James Madison,
good team. That's a heck of a way to start. James Madison in Carolina.
We are going to learn a lot early.
We will.
Absolutely. So, is there anything that you're looking forward to in the next week that's worth talking about?
Next week. So we're kind of ending basketball season. Well, from a college standpoint. I'm just a basketball junkie. I mean, I'm looking forward to the NBA playoffs in the coming weeks.
Minus the Hornets.
Yeah, minus the Hornets. And more than likely, I mean, I'm a Chicago fan, so I mean, I don't know how they're going to fare. So, I don't even know if they're in the play-in right now. They may be, but yeah, I think they're in the play-in, but it's close. They're going to have to play well to beat whomever they play in the play-in. So, right now, I just think it's the Nuggets and Celtics in the finals. I mean, they are some good teams. I mean, I know last
especially night, out west.
Yeah, I mean, I know last night was a bit of a blunder for the Nuggets. Clippers were able to beat them without Kawhi Leonard, but in a 7-game series, I don't know who's going to beat Denver from the west and who's going to beat Boston from the east.
Mm-hmm. Well, that's apropos. For me, it's just a matter of can we go ahead and get started with football season now. It's like, you know, the NBA, that season is going to be good in terms of the postseason. Especially out west, I think that's going to be some compelling basketball to watch. But it's April, so in Charlotte, that means we're not that far away from the NFL draft. The Wells Fargo is right around the corner. And
need to make sure we get a credential form for that.
Let's see if we can work that out some sort of way. And Charlotte FC plays next Saturday at home. So plenty to do. And we appreciate you for listening to Sports Charlotte. And you can get it, obviously, at Queen City Podcast Network, Apple Podcasts, Spotify, SoundCloud, those are your usual suspects, as well as our website, thecharlottepost.com. And speaking of thecharlottepost.com, you will find all of our sports coverage there, as well as news, arts and entertainment, life, etc. And journalism is not free. Support our work with a donation or a subscription, go to thecharlottepost.com, and there's little buttons on there. Hit either of those, or maybe both. We don't have anything against big spenders, so just go ahead and hook us up, and we do appreciate your time, attention, and money.
Yeah. Big spenders, my DMs are open.
But for everybody at the Post, I'm Herb.
I'm Cam.
Thanks for listening.
QueenCityPodcastNetwork.com.